Divestment is the word in Washington State. The sound of protesters applauding the Seattle City Council, which decided in a unanimous vote to divest its investment activities with the Wells Fargo Bank, which handles about $3 billion a year for the city. Wells Fargo is lender to the Dakota Access Pipeline. Seattle has decided not to renew their contract after their current agreement ends in 2018, calling this a blow to the bank, as well as, quote, a blow to the billionaire class. This measure comes just as the Army Corps of Engineers told Congress that it will allow the $3.8 billion pipeline project to run under the Missouri River, just north of the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation, days after the Trump administration decided to restart the project altogether. Shama Sawant is a Seattle Socialist City Council member. Welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you for having me, John.
What impact do you think this will have on the project, and do you think the wide-ranging protests that we saw last year are beginning again?
Actually, I do think that the protests against the Dakota Access Pipeline are going to be resurging soon. And I think they're going to happen not only because of, as you said, you know, Trump reopening the Dakota Access Pipeline, saying the easement should be granted and everything should go on. But also, these protests are going to happen in the context of the overall mood for fight back against Trump. Ordinary working people, young people, millennials, the 99%, are in no mood to negotiate with Trump, with his bigotry, with his billionaire-dominated cabinet. People really want to fight for a different kind of society. And it was in that spirit that I put the legislation forward in November for the city of Seattle to divest. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that by itself Seattle's divestment is enough, but we hope that it will be a trendsetter around the nation.
If there were to be a challenge on the pipeline question and the plaintiffs would win, the tribes would win, it would mean lots more challenges on tribal treaty rights would happen, and the courts in Seattle would be the place where those disputes would take place, I suspect.
I think so, because the movement is very strong here. But I do believe that what we've done in Seattle has also been a morale booster for the movement on the ground at Standing Rock. I think that Seattle will be sort of a center for not only the judicial fights, but also the movements on the ground.
Any response from Wells Fargo to your decision?
Good question. Wells Fargo did issue a formal statement in which they said, we appreciate all different points of view, but we are legally and contractually obligated to carry through the Dakota Access Pipeline. And my response to that was, this is a corporation that in 2012 was indicted by the Department of Justice for, breaking the law by targeting subprime loans at African-American and Latino households, even though they qualified for prime loans. Recently, just some months ago, I think in September, they were caught having created 2 million fraudulent accounts and, defrauding their own customers using their identities. And now suddenly they've grown a legal conscience? I don't think so. I think that this shows the fact that Wells Fargo is so unapologetic about this, and that it's not the only bank, but so many other banks are financing the Dakota Access Pipeline. It shows that our fight, the fight of the 99%, it's against climate change and towards renewable energy. But politically, the fight is against the oil lobby and the financial oligarchy that funds that oil lobby. And so this is, at this moment, somewhat of a David versus Goliath fight. But the victory that we've had in Seattle shows that the movement can prevail. The movement can force both the oil lobby and the politicians who implicitly or explicitly support the oil lobby to back down. But we need to keep building this movement.
Well, you don't sound much like David Shama Sawant, who's a city council member in Seattle. Very important conflict that is taking place. Shama, thank you very much.
Thanks so much, John.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.